This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 24th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together, and it's a safe bet the rapture didn't happen. Or it did, and, well, do you know anybody missing? Maybe all of us are just heathens left behind, but I feel that that while the internet was breathing a sigh of disappointment over this, according to Forbes magazine, don't you know, the rest of us were not breathing a sigh of relief. We continue to laugh. Now, what's interesting in the Forbes article is it claimed that Christian evangelicals have spent the last few days getting ready for the end of days. No, that's not true. Idiots have been spending the last few days because Pastor Mumbo Jumbo in South Africa proclaimed that this was it. And as we reviewed last night, it's not the first and won't be the last time that some idiot went public saying they knew the hour and the date. Never mind the fact that if they are Bible believers, the Bible tells you clearly that no one does. Nonetheless, a number of people who wanted to get out of everything from painting their house to paying their bills thought, okay, we get to go. Well, if you did get to go, do you know anybody missing? Yeah, by all means. Of course, if I get no calls, I'll recognize that, well, yeah, well, maybe, unlikely. So, yes, you've survived another one. All right. Now, but you're left here behind on Earth with all manner of trouble. Nightmare bacteria cases have risen fivefold. This one's not a joke. Infection rates from drug-resistant nightmare bacteria, 70% rise between 2019 and 2023 alone, yeah, during all the COVID years, for instance. And apparently the NDM gene primarily drove the increase, according to the CDC. Bacteria that were once exotic, you know, you'd hear about this every now and then, it would make the news, are in fact increasing at an alarming rate. So, yeah, they say it's a grave danger and it's worrisome. And, of course, with over-antibiotic use, there's a lot of reasons why a number of things would become resistant. Now, what was most interesting to me in the article was how likely it is that many people are unrecognized carrier. Yeah, hope it's not you. And, yes, it starts out as just the routine infection, you know, the UTI or something, and next thing you know, yeah. Well, antimicrobial resistance, and like I say, all the, you know, the hand-washing things, it's antibacterial and all that, actually train the germs to be stronger. So the CDC has drawn their attention to, yes, the untechnical term, nightmare bacteria. All right. So they've got researchers in 29 states doing testing and reporting results. And apparently, infection rates were under 2% per 100,000 people in 2019. And you're saying, oh, well, if it's a real big spread, how much is it? Well, a little over 3% per 100,000. So it's not huge at this time. But it's worthy of note anyway, because you want to, if you have any open sores of any type, any injuries and stuff, you want to at least be mindful and pay attention so you don't wind up hospitalized with a big problem. Now, if it's not bacteria, maybe it's squirrel attacks. This is particularly evidence to the San Francisco Bay Area, where neighborhoods are dealing with aggressive squirrels. In one neighborhood is an aggressive squirrel, singular, Two women went to the hospital after being attacked by same said squirrel. And wildlife officials confirm it. Same squirrel. Extremely aggressive. And you'd think, and the squirrel is still out there? Well, apparently so. So this happened September 13th and 14th, so about 10 days ago now. And both wound up in the hospital, at least being observed. It happened in almost the same place, too, which is good news if you're not there. So they're on the lookout for the squirrel with particular coloring, kind of a caramel color. Wait a minute, that's every squirrel. Or golden color. And that's a little more unique, they say. All right, so look for the unique squirrel. And it's unusual for squirrels to be aggressive, which, of course, really, really worries you because you say, don't tell me they're a rabbit. No reason to believe that on this particular squirrel as yet. But they're working to, in fact, capture. Right now, they're not working hard because, after all, this is California. They say that should the squirrel continue its aggressive behavior, you know, bite a few more people, they might work hard to capture it. I'd say time is tight. You know, right now is as good a time as any, don't you think? Well, there you have it. The experts say that if wildlife gets too close and seems to be acting aggressively, try to scare it away. Yell and stomp your feet. I guess that's the technical technical advice. And for the most part, squirrels are not vectors for rabies, but it doesn't mean you can't have them. And they've got sharp claws. We'll get back to the MRSA infection. So be aware. That's right. Wildlife out to get you. All right. So now we will be talking with Laura in Willowbrook and Cynthia in Chicago suburbs. But Red wants to discuss the rapture, and he's here to talk about it. All right, Reb, so they didn't take you.
No, so far as I know, maybe I'm deluded.
I know.
Hallucinating.
I wondered about maybe. That, too, but I'd have better broadband if I went.
All right. Now, when you mentioned about camping and all that,
yes.
this is an old thing that's been around for, like, centuries, where these nuts, people, you know, make up these predictions. And a very, very notable one, it's reminded me of the Millerites of 1844.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of this? Have
yes.
you heard of this?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Millerism. And that was going to be, I think, on the vernal equinox, March 21st. William Miller believed the second coming would occur October 22nd, 1844. And so,
But it's actually is more complicated than that, because first he predicted the end of the world in, it was 43. There's some date he gave in 43, and then nothing happened. And then he said, I didn't calculate things right.
Right.
And he came up with another date, and that didn't happen.
Right.
And then he came up with another date, and the biggest one of all was in late, I think it was October of 44.
Yeah, it was. October 22nd, that was the third one. Yeah, it was March 21st, 43. That didn't happen. So a year later on the equinox, March 21st, 44. And then October 22nd, 44. And, you know, the Millerites, his followers, sold everything and walked around in ascension robes and, went to the mountain to await the coming as if they needed to be higher. And, of course, what this became was the great disappointment. And what was really interesting of this, though, is the fracture. What came out of the fracture were a number of groups, including Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes. And I think maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses might have a part of it, a little bit influenced by that, although I'm not sure about that.
I know about the Adventists. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, they contend that it wasn't Jesus' return, but it was the start of Jesus' final work of atonement, cleansing everybody for heavenly sanctuary. And that was the deal there. And right. It's, it's funny until you believe that people actually do change their lives, sell everything, worse yet, donate it to the person who's spreading the myth. And, this has implications, to say the least. But to the rest of it, it's downright humorous.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, when you were talking about those squirrels,
yes,
something popped in my mind. I read a long, long time ago that if you want to scare off some dogs, like kind of half wild dogs that are hostile, all you have to do, they said, and I tested this and it worked, is you bend over and pretend to pick up a rock off the ground, and you hold it, you bring your arm up like you're going to throw it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And dogs will, and I tested this and it worked. It seemed to be true. The dogs, you know, these are wild, kind of half wild dogs. They're not like pets, normal pets. And they see you, they're used to having people throw rocks at them. So they know.
That's interesting.
Experience.
Yeah, I would assume that domesticated dogs would. Now, truly wild dogs, I don't know that they would have encountered the rock. I think somebody would have to try this with numerous dogs on numerous occasions, but it sounds like a great project.
Yeah, well, I tried it. I tried it like once on the south side of Chicago, and there were these two kind of nasty dogs that were like about 50 feet away from me, and they were, you know, I got a bad vibe from them, you know. So I tried it, and it seemed
to work. That's great. Hopefully you'll never have to try it again. But now let's get back to Miller for a moment, because we should say that after the three dates that failed, he got smart. He started to predict things that were going to come in 2,300 years so that nobody would be able to prove him wrong.
Yeah. And remember the guy who, about 20 years ago, aliens were going to come. They were following a comet, and they were going to come and...
Yes, and the problem. Yes, of course. People killed themselves in San Diego, though. This is absolutely unfunny. But yes, Art Bell was in his glory over this.
And those Mimi, funny.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. It was Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
And I guess Rancho Santa Fe, which, by the way, is a very pricey area of San Diego, March of 1997. Yeah, remember it well. That was the Hale-Bopp comet, and they felt that suicide was the only way to rendezvous with it. But these people were crazy beforehand. I won't even get into that. But yes, they believed that this. Apparently, by the way, you know, we had Jim Jones and his purple Kool-Aid. Well, not to be completely outdone, Heaven's Gate decided the combination was phenobarbital and vodka. So they also had to wear a uniform. And what was interesting about that, they described the uniform on TV, and I know it had purple shrouds or something, but my favorite part was it had new Nike sneakers. And I thought, something tells me that Nike is not going to capitalize on this moment.
And people should be reminded, they should know this, they should learn this in grade school, that these phony religious nuts come along all the time. Every generation. It's not going to stop tomorrow, because people aren't going to wise up and suddenly become have common sense and be wise. It's going to be happening 50 years from now.
Of course it is. The human condition never changes, but I'm not sure it should be taught in school. It should be taught in home before they ever get to school. You know, I mean, this is a parental job, you know, but yes, it will be here forever. But the 39 souls from Heaven's Gate won't be.
And, well, I don't know. I could go on and on.
Oh, I know. I know.
One of my longest interests I've had in life is religious cults and crackpot stuff, and which I got into that when I was in grade school. Literally in grade school, I was interested in the subject.
It's the human condition, you know. Absolutely, it's the human condition. People, not everybody, but people yearn to be led, and to those who don't yearn to be led, that's just out of the question. But there are many people who will fall to this because they have a deep need in this.
People are suckers.
Not only suckers. I guess we're all psychologically distorted to one degree or another. But when it crosses over into territory like this, most of us, thankfully, say, "Are you kidding me?" So you've been studying it all these years.
All my life,
What's the strangest psychological fact connected with this that you've uncovered?
Oh, fact. I don't know about fact, but I can tell you about the weird, about the weirdest, my favorite crazy cult got going real good near Tampa, Florida, led by a man originally from Chicago. Well, doesn't matter. His name was Cyrus Teed, and they called him Koresh, too.
Well, they all do.
The Waco,
right,
the
right.
Waco Wacko.
Right.
He was called Koresh, which means Cyrus.
Right.
That's what the name means. And he taught that we live inside a hollow earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're all inside it, and all the stars, the sun, the moon, everything is in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I don't know how it goes out at night, but somehow the sun, which I think was supposed to be an electric spark, big electric spark. Anyway, and if you could look, had the right type of telescope and could somehow look up, you'd be able to see Europe or Australia and Africa and all these places up there in the sky, if only you had the right technology, I suppose.
Here's the scariest part about this. The state of Florida took the former settlement and made it Koreshian State Park. I mean, only Florida, yes, in Estero, Florida, Koreshian State Park. Yeah.
And he got a start here in Chicago, I think, is where his cult really started flourishing.
We're talking about the 1800s, as you know.
Yeah,
but for people who don't, this is absolutely, and that was an interesting time, because that's when a lot of this mumbo-jumbo and psychic stuff really started, people writing the books and all that stuff. So there were all sorts of things. So now, of course, all these cults include celibacy. So for some of us, that knocks us out right there. But, you know, for those willing to go along with that, God was a hybrid of male and female and all of that. And yeah, he was insane. But I remember on the news in Florida when the last Koreshian died, and it was something like 1980. I mean, it was in the last 50 years for sure. And they had a thing on it, the last Koreshian had died. And at least the last one to admit this. But yes, the hollow earth. There's a lot of hollow earth theories out there as well. But not many people have invented the reptilianator. Is that what he called it? Reptilianator? To measure the supposed concavity of the earth's surface.
Oh, I've heard of that, but I don't know much about
that. That was it. I love it when they have devices. But the reptilianator.
And when he died, he got beaten up, allegedly, according to the story, he was beaten up by some local ruffians who didn't respect him and beat him up, and he died from that. And all his followers thought that he was going to come back to life. So they didn't put him in the earth or anything, and they just had him sitting out there on a table somewhere in some room. And he got more and more stinky and rotten, and finally the sheriff, I think, ordered him buried.
It's great. I wish we could go on and on, because there's so many things, including the political party, but I got the news. Thank you for calling. Do it again.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. All right, so we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
What I want, that's what I want.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1959 on Tamla Money. Jeannie Bradford and Barry Gordy wrote that, and of course Barry Barrett Strong recorded it, and what a fine record. And it was Jack in St. Charles who wanted to hear that, along with several others, and we'll get to them all tonight, I hope. We'll see. We'll try. So what are we doing here? Yeah, not that I ever know. We've got Cynthia into the Chicago suburbs. Welcome to WGN Radio. Cynthia, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh. I've called before. I just want to say, don't mean to sound gushy or, you know, like, oh my God, get the cheerleader off. lady, shut up. No, I'm saying to me, like you would be saying to me, lady, shut up, get to the point. No, I'm just saying, I'm a nurse, former flight attendant, but I've always been a nurse. I went for credentialing now, so I'm a helicopter nurse, but I won't go there. I could actually fly a helicopter if I had to.
that is not only such an important job, but it's also a dangerous job. And thank you for putting your life on the line. I know.
My mom worked at a hospital, a huge medical center. She's not a nurse, but anyway, they installed the flight nurse thing and the helicopter issue. And she said she took the helicopter ride for, you know, a view of the city. Uh-huh. I'm like, Mom, are you kidding me? I'm like, Mom, you couldn't get me on a helicopter. Right. No, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what?
There you are.
She's in heaven, and guess what? Yeah, now I am. And you people don't know this, but you have to go through extra credentialing, yada, yada, yada.
Of course.
But in case somebody, you know, in case the pilot, like, passes out or throws up, I have to learn. I know now that I have to fly the helicopter.
Yeah, that's
no, guess what? I could do it. But my point being, Raleigh, it's not about me. I could do it. I did it. You don't want to see me in a helicopter because it's not good news.
Right.
You know, usually fatal or very critical injuries on the highway. And I just want to say, because you reach so many people, please slow down. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. Don't let your kids drive an SUV or your car because you want to be their friend. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
I'm not judging.
But I just want to say, you are phenomenal. You are absolutely phenomenal. And you reach so many people. And I love your listeners, like, including Jim. You know, he was the eye issue and somebody else in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
And there's a caller that calls from the south side of Chicago. I love her. Motown.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
okay.
James. And then the lady that calls from south side. But I love her choices. I love it. And, no, I just want to say you make such a difference in my life. And you touch so many lives. Your wealth of information beyond radio, beyond anything. You must have a PhD.
Not at all, but you know, I'm honored you think that, because like I say, I'm in awe of what you do. You mentioned that most people won't know it, but those of us who live in rural America, we know it every day, because the reality is when you get sick where I live, the hospital will airlift you no matter what, if it's anything other than a cold. And one of the things that I keep telling people is, insurance for this is very cheap, and not having insurance for this can be $100,000. So for God's sakes, there's usually...
I'm so glad you say that.
In every community, there's usually only two or three players, you know, PHI or Native Air, whatever. Contract with all of them. Now, if you are Medicare eligible, Medicare will pay for this. But if you are not, you need private insurance. And as cheap as like $60 a year, you know, per carrier.
Yeah.
Very, very important. And again,
such a valid point.
Yeah.
So valid.
Yeah, because
almost
everybody I know, John, who answers your calls, he was airlifted 2.5 years ago when he had a stroke. So we know what airlifting's all about because it happens every day. And people don't think about it.
You weren't stuck with the bill, were you?
Oh, no.
You weren't stuck with the bill.
No.
But, you know, I mean, it just makes me sick. I know you're not political, but Unless you're wealthy, you're not getting a break anywhere, and I'm not going to go there.
No, and exactly. And what's really frightening is you're starting to see it. Even if you are wealthy, it's becoming harder and harder. With medicine anymore, if you want more than 10 minutes, you almost have to have the money to pay for a concierge physician. It's it's a bad system.
If you're wealthy, like certain people, it's not a problem.
It
can wipe you out. If you're not wealthy,
Of course.
So I just
want
to say thank you.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to miss you guys.
I'll be with you in spirit, but no, seriously, every time you get in that chopper, you're putting your life on the line, because anybody who thinks auto-rotate is for sure hasn't had to try it.
That is so true. That is, you know what? Planes, I'm a former flight attendant, so it's like, oh, planes, no big whoop. Helicopter,
like a stone. Absolutely. Planes all have a glide ratio. It may not be much of a glide ratio, but it is a glide ratio. Helicopters is a stone. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so,
but you know what? If I'm meant to go and God wants me, that's my time
exactly
to go.
Right.
But,
exactly right.
You know, I'd rather be en route somewhere than with a patient on a flight. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, just me and the pilot, the doctor, another nurse, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want a patient to be with us. But you know what? Again, I'm sounding like God. That's not my plan.
Yeah.
It's God's plan.
Well, call me again, Cynthia. It's great to hear from you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Oh, and you know what?
What?
You know what? Jimmy loves Marianne. I love that song.
Oh, do you? Okay, then I'll play it for you.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thanks. Sure
thank
thing.
You.
All right. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Looking Glass. It was the follow-up to Brandy. I thought it was a better record. And, you know, when they sent that around to program directors, I remember I got a little Looking Glass in the mail, you know, the kind of things that, like, tourists get where there are pictures. And in the Looking Glass is the 45, a copy of the Epic label, the orange Epic label, Jimmy Loves Marianne. So, yeah, I use it as a keychain. All right, so we'll get to Tom in Cedar Lake and Laura in Willowbrook, and there's plenty of room for you at 888-876-5593. Want to talk about the Sea Crane Company a moment, because they have just exceptional solutions. Their radios, one is more different than the next with neat features, but everything they all have in common is killer reception, just terrific reception. And the CC Skywave Radio 2 is all that and more. Of course, great AM and great FM reception, but you also get shortwave. And the neat thing about the bands on the CC Skywave 2 is it includes air traffic control. That's right, so if you're going to be traveling, well, this is a small radio that'll fit in your hand, and you'll get the NOAA alert and the NOAA weather, and it is just a terrific radio. So ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Take a look at the CC Skywave Radio 2. Now, it operates on a couple AA batteries for up to 70 hours, and like I say, it'll fit in your hand. It's a pocket-sized radio, so it is. It's a truly wonderful travel radio to be informed at any time, and otherwise just entertained with that great AM and FM. All right, if you can't go online, well, call them. They've got the world's best customer service, 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here in the good old USA. They will answer all your questions, and you can order right on the phone. But if you can go online, I want you to see it. It's the CC Skywave Radio 2 from the Sea Crane Company, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Just 17, everything that you sing, it's all there in her eyes. So many years of a poor mama's tears and a day of sweet lies. There's nobody home, Mary Ann's alone, almost fully grown and worldly wise. Jimmy's been down, he's been out and around, and he knows where it's at. Nothing'd be good if he thought that it could, but it isn't like that. He don't make mistakes. what he needs, it takes. Jimmy gets all the breaks, cause he knows how. She picks up the phone and she hears Jimmy say, "Mama, I'm so sick of the street, feel like running away. There's no life here at all. The city seems so small. The sweeter music calling us away. Let it play."
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. 1973 on Epic. Elliot Lurie, lead singer. He wrote it. He wrote Brandy too, and on Epic. And he was at Rutgers when he formed that band in the 60s. And they were around until 74 when he embarked on a solo career. And I was working at Epic at the time he did. I did my damnedest to get airplay on that, and it did absolutely nothing. And then he was later on Arista. And then he wound up in L.A. after a while and was producing all sorts of things. He was head of music for 20th Century Fox and did soundtrack albums for movies like Perfect, Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta and stuff like that, and others as well. And but I've heard recently that he's back performing because there's no shortage of shows for folks from back in the day. So still with us and glad to see it, originally from Brooklyn. So 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN. Laura, we lost Laura? Oh, her tech guru helped. All right, because, you know, she had that problem. And she's welcome to call back and give us all the gory details. But it's so nice when things work out. I slept last night. That's an important part of our story because for two nights before it, I did not sleep. Not one wink. Because I had a problem, a tech problem. And I was determined to solve it. I'll tell you what, I could not have solved it if it weren't for the help of Luke Davis, who is my hero. And Luke runs the server that handles my email. And that doesn't matter when it's just, you know, people casually talking or even when it's orders. But when it's things like fault alerts for equipment, you need to get those alerts. Well, in the last year or so, so many of the parameters have changed that some of them just were not getting through. And it was annoying as hell because they always say that, you know, insanity, the definition of insanity is doing something the same way and expecting a different result. But as I say online, the definition of insanity is doing something the same way and expecting the same result because you may or may not get it. For instance, the exact same parameters into 15 different pieces of equipment and 13 of them will send the emails and two of them will fail it. And it's like, why? Why? Yeah, on and on. And so we actually came up with a temporary fix, but I couldn't have done it without Luke. It's not a permanent fix. I'll be working on this again. But at least for now, I went to sleep last night. Yeah, but I know what that's like when tech stuff is vexing you. But again, we're the pioneer days of everything digital. And a couple hundred years from now, people laugh at what we go through. But now it really is a work in progress at best. Yeah, just not been a happy time. As far as broadband, I'm actually going to be moving one of the studios because that's it. That's it. I am moving to fiber to the premises no matter what it takes. And in this case, it takes a move. The other studios, which are attached to our radio stations, you know, the FCC frowns on you moving radio stations out of town. So they'll be stuck with the dark ages of broadband. But hopefully, by the beginning of next year, assuming I live that long, I will have fiber. I'm pretty excited about that. All right, Brian and Joliet, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. Hope you're doing well. And I just wanted to make a request, please.
Sure.
I believe Clarence Carter did a song you were mentioning the other day, Too Weak to Fight It.
Sure, absolutely. Too Weak to Fight, of course.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you could play it. I'd like to hear it.
It'll be tomorrow night, and I will play it.
Well, thank you very much,
all right.
Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
So, yeah, happy to play Clarence Carter. Yeah, my favorite would Backdoor Santa. All right, how could it not be? All right, we've got Tom in Cedar Lake, but I believe I've been given a word of knowledge that it's almost time to go to a commercial break. I know, because John just came in here with the club, and right, and Brett is handling master control, and he's a wonderful guy, but maybe not hard enough on me because he lets me talk when I shouldn't. So I'll stop now and talk to Tom after the news right here on WGN Radio.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let him ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window and peeped through the blind and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said, "But honey, yes, but honey, but honey, if you wanna stay here with me." That I love best. I finally got my baby by the 3:30. She said, "I'd like to know what you want with me." I said, "Much honey, money, honey, much honey, if you wanna get along with me." She screamed and said, "What's wrong with you? From this day on, another man take my place?" I said, "Money, honey, money, honey, money, honey, if you wanna get along with me."
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, enjoying that a little too much. Clyde McFadder and the Drifters, 1953, Yellow Atlantic on a 45. Red, if you've got it on shellac. Money, honey, and Jack wanted to hear it. Tom is in Cedar Lake, at least he was when he called, and I hope he's still with us. So, Tom, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Well, excellent.
I've read more about Jim Jones waiting than I have my entire life.
Good.
But you had mentioned Jim Jones in Kool-Aid,
yes.
And it was in fact Flavor-Aid.
Oh, was it? Oh,
we don't want to besmirch the Kool-Aid brand, yeah. Along with the shoes. Probably don't want any association with the guy. So.
Oh, I'm sure Nike doesn't. But let me ask you: I've never heard of Flavor-Aid. Is this a Kool-Aid knockoff?
Yeah, they were around at that time. That was, I think, 1978. They're bankrupt, out of business. I remember they used to come in a bag, a bunch of packs in a bag, a plastic bag, a see-through bag.
Oh,
yeah, it was a competing brand to Kool-Aid. I was in Bloomington, Indiana at the time of the Jonestown Massacre, and Jim Jones was born in Indiana and attended Indiana University,
yes,
Bloomington for,
yes,
a while. So when that happened, the media descended there, and all the stories came out of him poking his roommate with like a giant needle through the mattress,
yeah,
and all the crazy stuff that went on. And Animal House was playing in the theaters, and you know, college kids wanting to one up themselves in bad taste, punch parties were the thing of the day. So,
well, now he was at IU, and I think also at Butler, but he was at IU in like 1948 or something. So
I know it was odd that they were kind of like trying to look at his trail. It was 30 years old,
right? And he was originally trying to be a pre-med. And I don't know what happened with that. But what was weird is they had talked about how as a child he developed an affinity for Pentecostalism. No child develops this. What are you talking about? You know, this is where I go, wait a minute, control, alternate, delete. I'm blinking at the 640K prompt. This is not possible. It is interesting. So I don't know. And of course, he did. Formed the People's Temple in Indianapolis. That is not where you normally think would be the scene of nutso like this.
Well, there were a lot of them. There were several of them through California.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
California, I believe, on the State Housing Board. I just learned all this.
The headquarters were in San Francisco. But, I mean, it started at a facility in Indianapolis. And when I think of Indianopolis, as I like to call it, I don't normally think of any place that would embrace this on any level.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was just all bizarre as it is, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess at one time he had Angela Davis, Huey Newton, and Harvey Milk defending him.
Because remember,
the media.
It was more than a religion. It was anti-capitalist, you know, the apostolic socialism.
Yeah, I didn't realize the communist angle to it.
Yeah.
I just read that all here in the last
waiting
for you.
Why do you think San Francisco, of course? But that's great about Flavor Aid. I missed Flavor Aid. Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it will be one of those brands where people buy defunct brands and restart them again,
yes,
or something like that.
The venture capitalists do that all the time. And it is so sad because you'll see things like clothing lines that used to be great, and it's the names there, but it's like, man, this stuff is made in China. What is it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Well, it was great. He played a guitar too. I remember seeing pictures of him with a Les Paul. He was trying to. Kind of a failed musician aspect to him also.
Well, like I say, we're talking about the early religious influences, and again, what kid goes to the Nazarene Church? But okay, fine. Now then, then of course the political influences. Well, that didn't really work out too well either. So of course, and by the way, in his reading, I'm sure you read about this. I'm not saying he necessarily followed any of them, but Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Karl Marx were part of his reading favorites, along with Mahatma Gandhi. So this guy was...
it's an odd party.
Right. And then he announced that Mao Zedong was his hero. So everything from the Nazi party, and he was giving the Nazi salute and all that. So of course... he's going to be anything he can. Nothing if not flamboyant.
Yeah, that was it brought back memories of being a freshman at Indiana University when all that happened.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was out there all the way around. And, obviously he was, flamboyant, but more than that, sure, of course, he would take any opportunity to be on stage. After all, he had supernatural gifts and all. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Yeah. The stories will never end. And hopefully everybody will remember them to some degree, because you'd hate to think that this just passed into the oblivion. Yeah. And you really hate to hear about the people who did pass along in the oblivion when they went. So nobody's come back, of course. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, right here on WGN Radio.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown. Don't hang around
around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close downtown. Just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights so much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be all right now.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James, and that was Laura from Willowbrook's request for Pet Clark and Downtown. And she was absolutely the girl least likely as far as that goes. She was 30 years old when that cut. She was living in Paris, married. So she was, hardly a kid, to say the least, or in any part of rock and roll. In fact, the first music that she had released was in 1949. So she'd been around a while. But nonetheless, that was a huge record. And a lot of people say, well, that was her first record. Yeah, no, not even her 31st single. I mean, she was around for many, many years doing things in Great Britain, of course, and Paris and things like that. But Downtown 1964, and it sure put her on the USA map. There's no doubt about it. But that song was interesting, of course, because it begged for parodies. And who could forget Mrs. Miller? The only problem with this is a very sad story. Mrs. Elva Miller. She was serious as a heart attack. She had no idea that Capitol Records was making fun of her.
When you're alone and life's making you lonely, you can always go downtown. You've got worries and all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know.
Yeah, totally serious. And she lived east side of far east side of Los Angeles, out by Claremont, and was dedicated to her craft, so to speak. That's right. Would never let anybody call her by her first name. She was Mrs. Miller, and there you have it. Now, of course, Alan Sherman had to get in the mix.
Mommy and Dad are never nervous or mad when you teenagers go downtown. Daddy and Mom just stay at home and keep calm and watch the Late Late Show uptown. 'Cause when you kids are gone, we get to spend some time alone here. That's our only chance to use the bathtub or the phone here when you're away. Besides, we're stuck where we are because you kids took our money, you kids took our car and went downtown. Where can you possibly downtown? It's 20 after 3 downtown. What do you mean by let's fruit?
Right, there you are. There you have it. So 888-876-5593, and that was Laura in Willowbrook who spurred all of that action. So welcome back, Laura.
Well, Raleigh, you have made my night. Thank you for playing the first one.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, the others. Oh, I'm rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard those other ones. You made my day. Thank you.
Oh, good. My pleasure. So now, what really made your day was the interaction with the tech folks. So tell me all about it.
Oh, yes. I don't know what I can say and what I can't, so I'll just give you basic. Okay, a gentleman that appears on the radio on WGN once in a while says that I would like to help you lower your tech bills.
Okay.
For example, cell phone,
yeah,
internet, TV, blah, 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 blah. He's like, it's okay, no charge, and if I won't be able to lower your bill, I'll just tell you what you could do, but he gives you options.
Right.
He says, like, I give you 2 free visits. He says, now, if we find that we can save you more money by doing what I suggest, then I charge you a blank amount.
Okay.
So we went over it. He's telling me how to figure it out and doing this and do this. Oh, my gosh, Raleigh, you wouldn't believe how much money I'm going to save. But I found out that one of the things
first of all, it's bad free trial, okay?
Okay.
Don't do a free trial unless you figure you're going to use it.
Okay.
Or keep it, because I didn't realize that I had all these free trials that turned into something monthly.
Yes.
Like, you mean I've been paying all this because I forgot to cancel?
Yes.
So that's number one. Number two, I got automatic payment, so I don't always look at my checking account. So I get the checking account statement, throw it aside, and like, whoops. So you wouldn't believe how much money this gentleman's going to save me. So I suggest anybody that thinks maybe their bill's too high, the first two consultations don't cost anything. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that.
All right. Well, now,
it's only for people in Illinois.
What spawned all this, though, was the darn phone just wasn't working. So did you get it fixed?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
All right. Well, good. Excellent.
The day's been all around very good.
I'm glad it was a happy ending.
Yes, sir. Yes, sirree, Bob. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks for checking in.
All right. Take care, you both.
Bye. All right.
Bye for now.
There you go. 888-876-5593. All right. Our news is coming up in a couple of minutes, but we're going to start with Linda in Richland Park because she's back. So how did it go, Linda?
Oh, it went very nice. I had a very windy trip. We had to go through two or three storms, and we changed planes over. We didn't have a straight flight.
Uh-huh.
But the flight was okay. You know, but the hospital was beautiful. I couldn't see it, but in a way I could visualize it in my mind. My friend, she was telling me how beautiful it was, and it was so professional. The doctor, the first doctor that saw me, she had to, like, interview me and find out different things of medicine I take and what had happened. Then to me over the years, and she wanted to know how long had I had lost my sight, and they just got that information. And then she had me look in different machines. A person came, and they had all kind of fancy machines. Look in this, look this way, that way, and all that stuff. Then they took me in another room, and they went through a whole bunch of other machines and things. And after I went through the third set of machines, I came back to her. And I asked him what was my pressure on my eye, because he really wasn't telling me. She said it was 18.
Okay.
And I figured that was kind of high, but I had been eating the wrong things because I had been snacking on stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can't get a decent meal.
Oh, tell me about it. Hang on, right where you are. We're going to pick it up right there. All right. So hearing all about Linda at Bascom Palmer. And 18's not good, but it's not the end of the world either. So we'll pick it up right there, coming up on WGN Radio.
That dream so real.
One can talk about being in love.
Who can say how it really feels?
One can worship on a star.
Two can make that wish come true, yeah.
One can stand alone in the dark.
Two can make the light shine through.
It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby.
Me and you. Just take two. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Make a dream come true. Just take two.
One can have a broken heart, living in misery.
Two can really ease the pain like a perfect remedy. Come true. Just
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was a request. I remember it because at first I thought it was Marvin and Tammy, and it isn't. It's Marvin and Kim Weston. I should have known that, Marvin Gaye and Tim Weston, but what I don't know is who requested it. I do know it came out on Tamla in 1966, however. All right, so now we're back to Linda in Richland Park, and so there you are at Baskin Palmer. Your pressure is 18. You go through the test. You come back to the original doctor and continue.
And she told me that. She asked me, how much could I, do you know, what did your doctor say back home,
yeah,
you know, what was wrong with your eyes? I said, well, all of them, I ever knew them to say I had glaucoma. Type 1 or type 2? I said, type 2. Then she said, well, we have a specialist that deals with glaucoma. She said, we have specialists. They have three buildings there. One is for all the glaucoma,
okay,
people. Then they got one for people with uveitis or...
Oh, yeah.
They have something like something degenerous.
Right.
That eye condition. She named a few.
Right.
So she said she was going to refer me to the glaucoma specialist.
Sure. Right.
So... She said, we're going to take the copies of all the tests that we've sent to him, and we want him to take a look at you today.
Right.
And tell you what he thinks we should do for you. And she didn't tell me, but the other doctor told my, I'll call her my niece, this really was my son's girlfriend.
Right.
That when I first looked into the monitor, they said, what was it? Do I see a big, large letter? I said, yes. I said, I see an L.
Okay.
And he said, well, you're almost there. He said it was a D. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, be glad you can see something. And then he said, you see other things? I said, yeah, I can see where you're moving the screen to other, you know,
yeah,
letters. He said, well, he did the finger test. Could you see my hand? Could you see the finger? I told him, yeah. But at first when he asked me, I couldn't see it. Then he put some drops in my eyes.
Uh-huh.
He waited a few, then he was talking to Alice and my niece, and he told her, he stepped outside the door, but she told me, he said, her eyes, there's a possibility for she can get a sight back. There's no problem with that. And he said, when I put those, some kind of, I don't know, I thought it was conditioning my eye or something, dilating it. But once he put that in there, I could see his hand.
Wow.
I could tell him how many fingers he had. Before that, he had tested me. Before that, I couldn't see nothing.
Right.
And when he put the medicine, I call it dilation medication,
right,
I could see. It was like looking at a gray finger or whatever.
Right.
So he told him, I'm going to have to come back and see the glaucoma specialist.
Oh, God.
Make an appointment to see him. But they wanted me to... He was talking to somebody, a glaucoma specialist, so he had another patient. So I had to wait.
Yeah.
But they had got close to our time to go. And my niece, she looked on her phone, and it had canceled our plane.
Really?
Yeah, because of the storm.
Wow.
She could look at everything on her cell phone,
yeah,
to see what was going on with that airport.
That's great.
And so what happened was they had another flight. They said we could catch the plane in Palm Springs if we could get there in like 31 minutes.
Palm Beach, yeah.
So she said, well, you know what? She said, we're not going to be able to sit here and wait on the doctor because we got another patient, the glaucoma doctor. We're going to have to just let them know that we got to leave because it took us from Palm Beach, Florida, the hospital there, to the airport. They said the airport wasn't as far. They got on the expressway. He said it would take about 15 minutes or whatever. So she said, I got to call this guy. He gave us his car. He said, when you get ready to leave this hospital, call me, the Uber person, and we'll take you over to to the airport. So we had to catch up with this receptionist to let them know. The doctor know we couldn't stay, then we miss our plane. Then our tickets probably would be canceled. Don't know what the alternative would have been, but they told us, well, we can go, and then we'll have the doctor to fax or have a conversation with you and let you know what he see, what your possibilities would be, and what we can do. She said you can do. She said there's something we can do with surgery for you, but it's not guaranteed.
Right.
She said we don't want you to have surgery, and it don't work out right.
Right.
Then what made me think? She said, "How old are you, Mrs. Barnes?" Then I told her. I said, "Well, that must mean if she give me this surgery, an older person probably can't take it. You know, might not come out too good." Well, she didn't say that. But by her asking what was my age right after she said that, she said, "We have medication that works really, really good if we decide to choose with the medicine for you. It's your decision if you want to go that route. But he has to sit and tell you everything, what's going to happen, what you could expect, and the average, however people have been doing it has been coming out." So I said, "Well," she said, "if you could just wait, he's in the office with another in his office with another client. As soon as he gets through with that person, then he can see you." We said, "Okay." So we sat and we waited because actually they saw us before our visit because we knew something might would happen. Like we did, we drove through a storm going. And I said, "Well, we better," she said, "Well, let's make sure, see if we can get you in a little earlier than 1 o'clock. And what happened was they took me around 11, which was good. They were really nice. And so we just told them that we saw a lot of planes was being canceled, a whole bunch of them in Palm Springs at that airport. Southwest was done for the day. It was just something. Bad storms with lightning and stuff flashing. So anyway, she told him, "We will just ask you, can you have him to call and let her know what your diagnosis you think it should be?" And she said, "Oh, sure, no problem. Let me go in and let him know that you can't wait because your plane's been canceled. It's only one left going your way.
Right.
And if you want to get there, it's going to take you 31 minutes to get there."
Right.
"You got to go through the line." That's another experience. You don't even want to hear about that for a blind person.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, he told us no problem. So we cut out. Then she had to call the guy that Ubered us over there. And he had another person. He said, "Well, as soon as I get through with this person, I come right back over for you, Mrs. Bond." I went right back over. So, but he couldn't. So she called another person. And she came. And, she explained to them, "We got to get there, go through the line and all that old crap." And he stepped on the gas. And we got there. When we got there, she took us through the, she took me through the line. It was horrible. They got a special wheelchair for handicapped people.
Okay.
You sit back on the wheelchair, then you got to spin around to the left, then they'll let this handlebar over you. You got to slide back and put your feet up. A whole bunch of stuff you got to do. Then they wheel you real fast. They wheel me real fast over to where I had to check in at. So you know where they check you through the meters. You know, it'll go off if you got something on you.
Right.
So she told me, she said, she didn't ask me. That's what I didn't like. She asked my niece.
Of course, that's the way it always
can
is.
Can she walk?
Yeah, right.
She said, yes, she can walk. Well, she said she gonna have difficulties getting up and out of that wheelchair. And the lady said, "That's no problem. That's no problem." She told me to raise up, and then she put that little miniature thing to see if anything was gonna come off the detector thing. Then another lady came up to me, and she said, "They're randomly selecting people. Could you open your hand?" I opened my hand. Then she took like a tissue. This is something I never knew. And she made like an X on my hand.
Right.
I'm going, what is she looking for? And then she told me to do the other hand. She did an X on it. They said they just pick people randomly to do that. She was really looking to see if I had any drugs in my body for the last past 3 days. That's what.
Oh, jeez.
That's what it was. You know?
Wow.
She had to pick some people out to do that. She happened to pick me as though I had time for her to do that. But it came out all good.
Yeah.
And then I went through the line, and the lady wanted to fuss with me. "Well, the back of your ID have the barcode. We can't read it because you got something stuck on the back that said, 'I voted.'" That's what I didn't put that there, Missy. I said, "The lady at the place when I voted years ago, the last election, it's been just stuck on there." I said, "Can't you just pull it off?" if we pull it off the barcode, you wouldn't get through because it's taking the codes off the barcode. I said, she's trying to give me a hard time.
Right.
I said, well, on my way coming, your same airline, United Airlines, accepted it, and it went through. Well, I tell you, this time I'm going to accept it. But if you come back through my line again, I am not going to accept it. So I'd advise you to go get your driver's license. I said, I won't get a driver. I said, why? Why can't? I said, because the lady I can't see.
Good for you.
And then she said, I said, the only thing they will issue me is an
ID card.
ID.
Right.
Right. And I said, they don't have no expiration date. They have 99, 99, 99.
Right.
She just couldn't believe get that. Another lady came over. She said, what's the problem? Because she don't have a driver's license. The lady asked her, why you don't have a driver's license? I'm going, like, okay, routine all over again. We waiting to get on this plane. I said, lady, look, I'm blind. I can't see. The state of Illinois, no state will issue me a driver's license.
Exactly.
The only thing they can issue me is a state ID. I said, and then the lady said, well, look at it. It got a sticky on it. If you take the sticky off, the barcode going to come out. I said, I don't see how it could. Well, if we do it, you won't get on the plane. She's getting all nasty.
Yeah.
And then the other lady said, just let her through. Don't hassle her. She said, wait a minute. Take those shades off. And then I had this ear thing that I talked through on my phone.
Uh-huh.
She took that off, and she put it on the tray, and it went through. And that's how I got through there. And she wouldn't let Ree be with me.
Right.
She had her, you stand over there. And made me go through this thing by myself. Can you stand up and walk, through this?
Say no.
And Ree said, no. She said, no, she can't. Ree yelled at her, no, she can't do it. You're going to have to just let her go through in a wheelchair.
Right.
And then, well, we'll let her through, but can you walk? Just stupid question.
Right.
I said, of course I can walk, but I can't see where I'm going. That's why it's better for me to someone just take my hand, and if they want me to stand up, I'll walk through. And the other lady that worked there, she said, don't hassle her. Why are you trying to hassle her?
Hang on a minute again. Don't go away. Stay where you are. I got the news, but I want to hear every word of this. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 minutes before the news, and I want to spend them with Linda. All right, so the good cop pretty much said, don't hassle this woman. All right, so pick it up there.
Mm-hmm. So they let me through the line, and they had to rush me.
Right.
Before the plane, you know. Then she had to stop to process my ticket.
Right.
And Ree said, oh, no. She said, if we don't hurry up, they're going to pull off. The lady said, if you don't hurry up and process the ticket, they're going to pull off.
Yeah.
She had to wait until it come up off the machine because you ran on a trip. You wasn't booked on this one.
Right.
Yours was canceled.
Right.
So if you want to leave this one and make it on time, I got to go through the process. So she went through the process. And by the time she got through with the process and gave us our plane pass, that's what she was trying to get to come out the machine.
Right.
It won't have come out the machine. She said, lady, please hurry. She said, because they're shutting the door.
Right.
And they shut the door, and we didn't catch that plane.
Oh, my God.
Over. We missed it.
Oh, my God.
So, we missed it because the machine wouldn't pop. I don't know why this machine is not working. Well, anyway, we had to go. When it went through, we was in New Jersey. So that's why we had to catch the plane from New Jersey. I mean, from New Jersey.
Oh.
So when we got there, went through the line, everything, they got two places where you can go through. She called it, you just come in from outside and you go up to the place to check you out.
Right.
We went through that. Then we had to go to the next area. But you can't go back.
Right.
If you want to go back and get a lottery ticket, which I want to do.
No.
I had to get rechecked again.
Yes, so exactly.
She said, you can't do that.
Right.
So she wheeled me over there. And she said, well, we didn't miss this plane. Because she was trying to get to her job the next day.
Right.
And she couldn't make her job. She said, I'm going to have to call my job and let them know what's happening.
Right. Because
they had canceled out the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
We got on the phone and said, we started to let you know that your next flight is going to be canceled because we're going through a lot of tropical storms.
Oh, no.
And she had tears in her eyes. So she said, I can't take off. I got to be there for my job. Or she go to work at 2, I think it's at 2 a.m. She go to work at night and she get off in the morning.
Yeah.
So she figured if she could hurry and make it home and like her plane, if she could have caught the plane that they canceled, she would have made it in time to go to her job. So she tried to get another plane. They said, yeah, if she come on through.
All right, hang on again. Hang on again. We got the news. Don't go away. We'll leave you in New Jersey. Stay right where you are. All right, mm-hmm. And we'll pick it up right there in a few minutes right here on WGN Radio.
Talk to her, please. Mr. Sun, speak to her, Mr. Rainbow, and take her under your branches, Mr. Tree. Whisper to her, Mr. Wind, sing to her, Mr. Robin, and Mrs. Moonlight, put in a word for me. Tell her how I feel. It shouldn't end this way. Since you are all her friends, she'll listen to whatever you have to say. Babble to her, Mr. Brooks. Kiss her for me, Miss Raindrop. And watch to see they all do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Tommy Edwards, of course, 1959 on MGM, that was the A-side, Please Mr. Sun, which obviously Johnny Ray had out prior to that, and the B-side, I thought Morningside of the Mountain was a better record, but that's not the request we got, it was Please Mr. Sun, and I plumb forgot who asked for it, but hopefully you're listening and enjoyed it. So with that in mind, we'll get back to Linda in Richland Park. We've now left her in New Jersey. Man, oh man. All right, so pick it up there.
Yes, so I was at the New Jersey airport. I went through the first section that you have to go through. Then you go through the second section. Then we had time we got there, the lady couldn't get the ticket out fast enough, and the plane took off.
Oh, no.
Okay. Then Reese said, oh, no, I missed the plane. They're shutting the door. Lady, could you please let the ticket come through? She said, I can't make the ticket come out the machine any faster. So by the time she got the pass that she was getting her pass.
Yeah.
The plane was up in the sky.
Right.
And I call her Ree. She had tears in her eyes. She said, oh my God. She said, I've never taken off my job I haven't taken off my job for a year. And now, could you believe it?
Yeah.
I said, well, it's the storms that's causing this. That's what it is. So you can't, you know, fuss with Mother Nature. So we said, she said, really, she just would have got the ticket out faster. So we sat down, and she looked on her little phone or whatever she got, and it said the next plane going to Chicago was going to be at, 4 o'clock in the evening. She said, well, maybe we can make the 4. Then later on, she looked on her computer, on her phone, and it said all the planes was canceled in Chicago. So I guess they had bad weather up there.
Right.
And so she said, well, they closed the airport in New Jersey. It's not like 24 hours.
Right.
I thought it was like O'Hare or some of them, but they closed it.
Right.
And we were in there. She said, we're not going to go anywhere because we're going to stay here. We're right in the line. When they do come and ask for people to board, we stay right here in the line. All right. So they came over the system and said that about an hour later, sorry to let you know that such bad weather, we're going to have to cancel your next flight. So the next flight that will be available is going to be at 7:30 in the evening.
Oh, God.
This evening. So we had to sit there.
Oh, my God.
Well, we're not going to go back out to go find and pay for another hotel. No, we're going to stay here and just sit next to a table. So I said, look and see if you can find a place that's open or we can get maybe a coffee or something.
Right.
Every place was closed.
Of course it is.
It had a sign that said, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts will be open at 5 a.m.
Right.
So when it got to be a few minutes to 5, she said, let me go over here and we're going to get us a coffee. So we went and got she got a tea, I got a coffee.
Okay.
And she was going to pay the man, which I gave money cash. He don't take cash. You got to have a Visa card. Everything in that whole airport, you got to basically use some type of charge card. There's only one or two places that you can pay cash. I said, well, I know one thing. In the future, I will be taking my card. I left my card.
Yeah.
That my son hold on to it because I can't see. But I didn't know. I had a couple of $100 on me. I had about $300 plus. I said, that should be enough for one day. Believe you me, that money went so fast. We ordered, when they did open up, we wanted breakfast. So we decided to get a ham sandwich. I wanted a ham sandwich, a turkey sandwich. That's what it was. And she wanted a tea. And she wanted some type of bacon wrap they had. And I gave her $50. I said, well, it would take it. She said, they'll pay for it. She said, because if we don't, I got to use my card. So the lady told her that they would take it. And she came back, and all she had was like, I think, $9. I said, dang, out of 50 bucks. I said, all you got was a coffee for me, a small coffee.
Right.
And I had the little turkey sandwich, and she had some type of bacon wrap or something. I don't know. It was a puff. That's what it was. A piece of puff.
Right.
And she said, my sandwich was $15. The piece of puff was $9. And
right.
Then her cheese was about $5. So I didn't have hardly nothing left from that 50 bucks. I said, everything is really high. So we had nothing to do but pass the time. It was so quiet in there. You couldn't hear a mouse.
Right.
It was so quiet. And when it was getting close to open up the airport, they had the alarm going off. And it was like you know, alarm, like something's going on. And I said, what's going on? I said, hey, how many people in this airport? Well, she said, in this section, she says only 3 people in this section. She said, there's a few people back that have to go through.
Right.
There's a few people back that said, oh, God. I said, somebody comes through, want to shoot, we going to be the target.
Right.
I said, I know one thing. I'll be getting out of this wheelchair. And they said, we're just doing a practice alarm. Practice, you know.
Oh, great.
And she looked up, and it had about 50 cops. And the thing was going up, it said, we are practicing, there's something like a human alert or some kind of alert. I said, seemed like it really is. They haven't so long, so eventually, after about 30 minutes, they took it off. And they said, everything is secured. Everything is still, we done surveyed everything. Everything is okay. And then they see it on the phone. Intercom system. That was just our usual routine we do. I said, dang. I said, this is a routine? And it scared the heck out of me.
Right.
So then when they did open up that Dunkin' Donuts, it was an Arab guy.
Okay.
And she wanted to pay for it. And, you know, the coffee didn't taste like nothing. But anyway, He wouldn't give her. I don't know if she was trying to use her. She had to use her card. That's what it was. And he wouldn't take it, no cash. So we got that. And that was very expensive. I think a large coffee was about, I don't know, $11, $12.
Yeah, you're at the airport. Yep.
That's what she said. She said, "You're not going to believe it." She said, "Well, just so you know, I'm not lying."
Yeah.
She took the picture of the menus.
Right. No, that's the airport. Yeah, absolutely.
It was high. And that airport was not all that clean. I tell you, it was not all that clean. To me, I could just, you know, it just wasn't that clean. So when it did come, I was glad when the plane did come.
And you got on it and you got back to Chicago.
Yeah, well, I got on it in the handicap in the section. And when I got in the handicapped section, it's only 3 seats there they had available.
Okay.
Because my handicapped section, my plane had been canceled. Then it took off or whatever.
Yeah.
So I missed where I was originally booked on the handicap. So
right.
they created me another place to sit. That's right behind the first class.
Okay.
So it was two other people was there. They had room for me. So I had a fat man on the right of me, and I had a man with real serious case, bad breath.
Ugh.
And then I thought about my song, Stuck in the Middle with You.
You're right. Oh, man, this is a nightmare.
I thought about that song.
This
so
is
anyway,
a nightmare.
I had a mask on. I had a mask on, and I had me a blankie. And I just covered so I couldn't smell
God.
His breath. I asked him, they said the man on the left of me had stage cancer. So
right.
He was real quiet. But the one on the right of me, I kind of like interviewing him, you know, in a way real nicely. I said, "How are you?" I said, "My name is Linda." And he said, "My name is whatever he was." He was a young guy. He sounded like he was around like 44.
Okay.
When he started talking, his breath was killing.
Oh, God.
I don't know what he had, but he had awful bad breath. I said, "So are you blind also?" He said, "No, I'm not blind." He was talking real fast. I'm well, from my head to my foot. I'm well. There's nothing wrong with me. And he talked, his breath was killing.
Oh, God.
So I said to myself, maybe you got a mental problem. They do let them, if they don't, people on their medication, they can't deny them a ride, you know?
Yeah. So man. You're confirming why I will never get on these things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, ain't going to happen.
Honey, we got on the plane. I'm telling you the truth. They circled around the lake. Not the lake. It was. They think they said it was the Atlantic Ocean. They circled around it. The plane did. Because it says, we're going to take off now. Put your seat belts on. Everybody sit down and I'm whatever his name was, and we're gonna prepare to take off. I said, "Oh yeah, we're getting ready to take off." They circled the Atlantic Ocean. That's what she said. We were circling the Atlantic Ocean.
Why?
I don't know. They circled it two or three times, and then what made it so bad? It was storming, and we had those air pockets. We hit it.
God!
And then Reese said, "Oh my God, it turns makes my stomach." That's why he's not gonna land his plane. He's up in the air now. But he didn't take off. He was just boo 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 boo, just going in a circle. And when he finally, I don't know, I said, "Did he land?" She said, "Look." She said, I guess he's gonna take off." So he said, "Prepare to take off," and it was like on a cartoon movie.
Right.
He said, "You could hear when they did that,
oh, God.
Your back just go to the plane back there, to the seat." And it was going, and it was so loud. It was like, you ever been in one of those machines where they, you got to be in there, your whole body, and make that tumbling sound, boom, 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 boom. That's what it sounded like on the plane.
Okay.
Have you ever been in one of those
machines?
I
don't think so. Oh, my good God. All right.
But that's what it said. It was so. Then it would go. It would get kind of. My ears was popping, so I couldn't hear nothing. I said, "Oh God, what happened?" Then I said, chew the gum, I was chewing the gum. And it came back in.
But you landed.
I hear some humming. As long as I hear some humming, I'm not worried about
it. Yeah, silence would be deadly. I agree. So you made it to the ground in Chicago, but here's the big question. What did they say for a diagnosis?
He said, we didn't wait. She said either surgery or medication.
Right, but what did that's how they would treat it. But what did they say they were treating?
She said they were treating my my disease. What did they call it?
Glaucoma or what?
Yeah, they were treating that.
So their answer to you was that all of your vision problems are related to the glaucoma.
Exactly.
And what they're saying is that there are drops you can take, medicine, that will allow you to see.
Right. Or
take them.
I could take the medicine. She said, I'll take the surgery.
No.
So she said, I know I'm not going to do the surgery because they messed me up too many times with the surgery.
Right. No, absolutely. So start taking the, so can they work with someone in Chicago so you can get the drugs?
They're going to write a prescription and send it. I get my prescriptions through mail.
Okay.
By mail through the military. I don't have to pay for it.
Good. All right. So they're going to send the prescription. You're going to take it. Now, do you have to do a follow-up down there?
Oh, yeah. I got to continue to do a follow-up.
When?
Continue. Well, I guess like I normally have every 2 weeks, sometimes a month, sometime. Mm-hmm.
You can't keep going back to Florida, not at least not on planes. My God.
That's the only way. They said a train is worse.
Yeah, well, probably is.
The bus is no way holding.
Well, you're right. No, I'm surprised there are any. But I don't know. I didn't know there was train service, but you might look into that.
They have train service to Florida because my brother-in-law, he says they're horrible. He said he was in the handicapped section. He couldn't stretch his legs. He had to get up.
Realistically, how are you going to be going back there regularly? Who will go with you?
It'll have to be my one son that stays here with me all the time.
Well,
he would be willing to fly.
Okay. So it's a good thing.
The rest of them drive trucks. So.
You can't do this every couple of weeks. You just can't.
No, but what she's going to do, in a couple of weeks, he's going to sit down and tell me, are you going to do the surgery or are you going to try the medication? That's what he's...
Well, so you'll do the medication. You've already decided.
Right, I do the medication. Okay. Uh-huh. And it all depends on if I get it by meds, by mail, or
right.
just go to the regular pharmacy and get it. But I get a discount from the military because
right.
of my husband, so it's like almost zero for that. So
I'm hoping that at some point they've got, for routine checkups, that they've got some contact in Chicago where you don't have to go to Florida for that.
Right. I'm pretty sure they're doing my girlfriend like that.
Yeah, there's got to be a way. I mean, I understand why you'd want to go for diagnostics and when there's a real problem, but for the routine checks, you need somebody in Chicago.
Well, trying to find somebody.
No, they need to find them for you.
Oh, well, I asked them. That's a good thing because they're real, real, real nice.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They'll work with you. They'll find somebody. You know, again, for diagnostics or things out of the ordinary, sure. But for routine checkups, you cannot go through this again. I mean, you're going to see all of America one airport at a time.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
They need to just change the whole airport. And the hotel that she booked was Peachtree. I wouldn't tell a dog to check in at Peachtree. It was awful. The beds was damp. They had old-fashioned locks on it. You know, you can push the bar over and nobody can get in. Old-fashioned lock. It was horrible.
You are exemplar number one in why in 1999 I said, I'm never getting another one these commercial planes ever again. So you are the prime example of the problem. You've got to find a way that, like I say, that the routine stuff, that they'll work with you. They'll find somebody in Chicago. And then, of course, if it's diagnostic or something out of the ordinary, yes, you'll go. But on a regular basis, you'll be dead if you do this.
Yeah, and then she said they have a hospital. They do surgery.
Yeah.
She said they have so many different things in the hospitals that they can do.
Oh, sure. Oh, of course, absolutely. But at this point, like you say, you've made up your mind to try the drugs first, and so we'll take it from there.
Right. Exactly.
All right, Linda, what a report. Man, oh, man. You need a lot of sleep.
That's what took me so long.
All right.
It was an adventure. The hotel at Peachtree, they didn't even wash off the bars for you. It was just nasty and stinky. The first, when you first go in, it smelled like you was in a... at the race.
Thank God it's over. Put it completely out of your mind forevermore. Oh, man, Linda. Well, now, yeah, call me again in a couple days and let me know how you're feeling, right?
Yeah, I will, because I came in at first answer, I took a shower.
Yeah.
And then I thought about, I said, I had to call the show to let her know what happened.
Oh, man.
I fell asleep. I didn't have no sleep. I stayed woke on the plane. But I will say the guy that was flying, his plane was number 1099. He was better than he could fly that doggone.
Well, that's
I'm
good. Thank
he
God
was
for
good.
Something.
That right. plane took off like shoo. We just leaned to the back. He said, "I'm Captain Whoever." Blah blah. Skippy Doo. I said, "He must have been a military pilot or something because he was just too good."
All right.
He didn't circle one none time. When he turned it on and it started going faster, like a roller coaster, you're going a little bit, and then when he got right to where he wanted to go. He hit that gas, I said, hit the gas, and our head stuck to the back.
All right.
And you couldn't hear nobody. Nobody talked through the whole flight.
All right, I'm up against the news again, so call me in a couple days. I'm sure I'll get another update.
I will.
Okay, thanks. And appreciate it, Linda.
Can I send pictures to you? I took pictures on the plane.
Yeah, hang on. I'll give you John, and he'll figure out how you guys can do that. All right, so that's where we are. And we'll get an update for Jim, too. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Manhattan Transfer, Soul Food to Go. That was Johnny Goen's request, and that was from 1987, an album. Manhattan Transfer, obviously. Brazil, and if you're wondering, that came out on Atlantic in 87, indeed. All right, so now, Ruth's been hanging on a while. I hope we get to where we are in a night. Let me quickly find out what Robert's request is, because he never takes very long on that. So, Robert, what's your request? Well, it doesn't know. He didn't wait that long. Who could blame him? All right, so let's see. James, what is your request?
Okay, Johnny Cash, don't take your guns to town.
Okay, we'll do it. I'll add it to the list.
And one other, Half as Much by Patsy Cline, and Imagine That by Patsy Cline.
Okay, you got it. All right, okay. Good deal. So, yeah, I was going to play some of Richard's requests tonight, and I'm running out of time, so I'll add that to the stash. In the meantime, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Hey. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Always.
And I'm very interested in helping out Linda. You're saying she should find somebody in Chicago.
No, what I say, by the way, what I say is that it's not that she should, it's that Bascom Palmer should research it, and they should send her to who they want her to see.
Right, because I do have a glaucoma specialist. He has offices at Belmont and Sheridan in Chicago and at Old Orchard in Skokie.
Okay.
And I really would love for her to go see him.
Yeah, you like this. You really like this guy,
right? He's fresh out of college and everything.
Well, what I think I'm gonna put you on hold. We'll get the names, and I'm gonna have Linda call. What I'd like her to do is run it by Bascom Palmer. See, I want them to do some of this heavy lifting and make these decisions so that they're in on it. But yeah, I'll do that, and we'll find out, pass that along, and maybe Bascom Palmer will sign off on that. That's a great idea. Thank you, Jim. Now, how are you doing?
I just came from the doctor. I got a shot of Kenalog today, and I've been having several incidents where I've had tremendous pain in my eyes, and I asked the retina specialist if he could get me pain pills. Now, I don't do all that. You have to call your other doctor. So I called my glaucoma specialist, and I didn't get a call back today.
Oh, great. Yeah,
but he's probably busy.
Yeah, I'm going to say you didn't get a call back because he's not in pain. You are. Yeah.
Right.
Terrible.
No, it has two incidents, one in the right eye and one in the left eye, where if you look to the left, look to the right, it felt like my eye was going to fall out.
Well, you told, by the way, apart from pain pills, you told him that. What did he say about that?
The retina specialist? He said, I don't do pain medication.
Well, apart from the pain, but you see, that's the medication. But what I'm saying is pain is a clue of that something's going wrong in your body. Did he weigh in on what he thinks is going wrong?
No, he looked in both eyes and he says he doesn't see anything that would cause the pain.
Okay.
But I told him that in my right eye, the one that did the surgery on, I said on the 13th, I had tremendous pain in the eye. And then all of a sudden, there was no vision at all in the eye.
Right, and what did he say about that?
He said, well, I don't see anything wrong right now. And anyways, so I told him, I said, and then 2 days later, my friend, when we went out for dinner for my birthday, she said, you got a black eye again.
Yeah, this sounds bad to me.
Right, and he says, well, it looks like you're having tremendous pressure in the eye, and you need to talk to the glaucoma guy. And
wait a minute. There you are. I don't care that he's not a glaucoma special, but I would think that any eye doctor there would take your eye pressure. They don't?
Yeah, they took it today. It was 22 in that eye.
All right, so that's high.
And after the surgery, it was 8, 12, and 15.
So what's,
and today it was 22.
Right.
And so I was concerned about that, and he just left it off. He goes, you know, but he just wanted to give me my shot of Kenalog and send me home, you know, in the other eye.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're getting the care you need.
Right. I'm getting frustrated because, you know, my vision is getting weaker and weaker
every month. Of course. I understand that.
But now that I had the steroid shot today, actually, it's a little clearer tonight than it was this morning, you know, when I couldn't see anything for breakfast, you know.
Right.
So I just wanted to let Linda know that I have a great specialist.
Good. Let me put you on hold, get the name. Then, Linda, if you'll call and get the name from John, then run it by Bascom Palmer, by the doctors there, and see if that's who they want you to see. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much, Raleigh.
I hope you're going to feel better. I don't like the way the doctor's treating you. I really don't.
I don't?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been in tears for a week.
Yeah. No, this is not good. You need better care than this. Hang on. Don't go away. That's just infuriating, to say the least. All right. So... yeah, as bad as Linda's airport stories. My goodness. All right, so good deal. Now, what are we doing here? While I'm debating that myself, we'll come back and play the last bumper right after this on WGN Radio.
Demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nonetheless we have the will. How we will celebrate our victory, we shall invite the whole team up for tea. How jolly! Hurl that spheroid down the field and fight, fight, fight. Impress them with our prowess, do. Oh, fellows, do not let
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More Tom Lehrer, of course. Fight fiercely, Harvard. And Pete wanted to hear that, and I promised I would. Oh, in fact, he's right there now. So before I even tell you any more about that, Pete in Sauk Village is going to tell us about what's going on with the eviction meeting. What's happening, Pete?
Well, tomorrow I get to go and camp in a conference room here at the rehab center with a couple of social workers, one from here and one from my medical clinic place. And we're going to do a Zoom court meeting for my first round of the eviction attempt.
Now, who is trying to evict you?
Well, evidently, the people who supposedly have bought the house from the brother of the guy who was the landlord of the house, who was also the trustee of my mom's trust and the executor of her will. He got the will rewritten in the last month, about a month before she died.
Right. We talked about that,
yeah.
And they accepted the will, so you're stuck with that. All right, so the new owner wants to have you out, and I would think, under first blush, unless you've got a hell of a lease, that they can do that. Why do you think they can't?
Well, depends how much of the background the judge will listen to, because this same Shylock, who owned all three things, abscond, took about $250,000 estate, and starting with December of 2017, the last month my mom wrote a check for was the month she died.
Mm-hmm.
That was November that year, and starting in December of 2017, he started taking supposedly $1,000 out of the trustee
pocket, putting it
in landlord,
and that would leave
about $130,000 if that rate was maintained.
But what I'm saying is that all that's important in some other action, but in an action about eviction, it's irrelevant. What's important in an eviction action is, does the landlord of record, whoever owns it now, have the legal right to evict a tenant? And what are the conditions? That's all you're going to be fighting. What, no matter how bad a guy he is, that's irrelevant to this.
Right.
So my question is there some Illinois law that is prohibiting him? Now, firstly, do you have a lease, a signed lease that's active? Not a month-to-month tenancy or any of that?
Nothing was ever signed.
Okay, so you have no lease, legally.
Right.
You don't. All right, so now if you have no lease, there probably is a law that says they can give you 30 days notice or whatever. Now, you need to know what that is, because that's all that's going to matter in this hearing.
Well, evidently there is a way of deferral and another hearing that could happen in the following 2 weeks. I'm going to play every angle I can.
I know, but the angles...
And I have to find a lawyer, and I don't have one.
Yes, you do, because the only angles that will work, all that you told me has nothing to do with this. The only angles that will work is if you can find some loophole in the law regarding landlords and tenants that can allow you to stay. It doesn't matter if he's a bad guy or an evil guy, or if he slayed his three children or your mother, or that he stole money. None of that matters. This case is about, does he have the legal right to evict a tenant? And if so, under what grounds? And that's what you should be researching. You're saying they'll delay the hearing. They may, but you need to know what law, what loophole you're looking for that would keep you there.
I know, and I'd be honest with you, I haven't the foggiest idea, and then, that's part of the problem. I've been very foggy for quite a while.
I know, but none of that matters. You see, that legally, that's what I'm worried about as you're talking to me. I am very worried about this. Legal aid couldn't help you?
Well, they're the ones who sent me all the information about how I can attend this thing.
All right, that's attended, but we don't care if you're attending
it. They didn't really have anything for me.
Okay, so they're not willing to help you in terms of with legal opinions and all those kind of things. All right, well,
no.
All I can do is wish you the best, but sitting here, I got to tell you, you haven't given me any reason to believe you have a chance in hell.
I understand that. And the thing is, if I can get 30 days... I'll be glad to get out of there.
Oh, you can. Oh, if that's all you're after, you can. I think the judge will give you that if that's what you're after. You can get that.
I'm already lining up this assisted living thing.
All right.
And I'm going to try to get all the valuable goodies I can out of that place.
Okay.
Before I have to vacate.
Have they given you notice of when they expected you to vacate?
Nope.
Okay. I believe that there probably is a window, and it's probably 30, it could be 60, whatever it is. There is a window that they have to notify you. Almost every municipality has that. So if that's what you're fighting for, you will win on that. They can't say, get out by next Wednesday. It doesn't work like that. So if you, you know, you can find out what that period is probably online. You know, you're in Sauk Village. It will tell you online what that period is. But I think you're going to win on that. But then you just have to use the time wisely. So if that's what you're trying to do, you got it made.
I mean, there's a heck of a lot that could be recovered and for a lot of money, but not in this action.
You see, with the law.
No. I'm talking about the materials in the house.
Okay. Well, if they're yours. And you have 30 days to get them out, then you can.
I'm going to do everything I can.
Oh, you can.
I've been weak as a kitten, and I'm also going to have probably a surgery somewhere along the way.
Well, hopefully,
so I don't know what's going to happen.
It needs to be after you get relocated.
I hope so.
Yes, I do too, or your 30 days will be squandered.
I know. That all has to do with the gastroparesis problem.
Believe me, I'm not making light of that, but just looking at it in terms of what's going on here, if they give you 30 days, you need to use that 30 days. Now, if you need a surgery in that 30 days, I don't know that it'll work, but you need to tell the court, say, hey, I can't do it in 30 days because of this surgery coming up. I need 60. And a judge might give you that. It's hard to say.
Yeah. This is, you know, they tried to stent, plasty and stent on this artery coming from below.
Yeah, all right.
Below.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Didn't work. Now they're going to try from above.
We don't care about that. You see, I do.
Well, that's just, this is what I'm going to tell the judge.
No, do not tell the judge that. That's what I'm saying. You just say, I need a surgery. It's been, my last surgery failed. I need one. You don't want to tell the judge every detail of your life. They're just going to cut you off.
I know.
So
I know.
Don't go there.
You're right.
I need a surgery, and I can get you the medical records to prove it if you need. That's what you tell them. Say, I can get you that if you want it. I don't want to waste the court's time on the details, but I can get them to
you. That's a good way to put it. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
You're a better wordsmith than I am. I appreciate that.
So you do that, and let me know how it goes.
Well, I'm probably give you a call tomorrow.
Okay. Well,
this will be at 2 in the afternoon.
I feel good about the fact that you're asking for something reasonable under the law. I don't think you'll be denied. Let me know.
Well, I've had a couple other people say, "Well, you should be getting that house."
Oh no, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. All right.
I know.
We're just trying to get you some time. All right. Let me know. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We'll do it. Okay, you take care.
All right, you too. All right, wow. Wouldn't want to be Pete tomorrow, but hopefully that will go well. Don't bog people down with details ever. Isaac on the South Side, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Rob.
Hey,
I follow a lady on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she owns a business in Philadelphia.
Okay.
She went to Turkey to get regular medical help. She said that the American healthcare system is no good. And so she went there, and I said she puts way too much information on Instagram. But she went there, and the first thing they found out is she has an astigmatism in her right eye. And I'm like, now, girl, you mean to tell me that they couldn't tell you here in
and
America?
And by the way, that's not a big deal either. Yeah, I find that suspicious.
I know. I think you must not have been getting a yearly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But they also found out that she says, I don't know if I believe it, but she says that she has a herniated disc in her neck. And she's been walking around with a herniated disc, and none of the. She says she went to 5 specialists.
Well, let me ask
here
you this: is she in great pain?
That's what she says. She says that she is in a lot of pain.
Okay. Well, what
people don't always show that. But
we're talking about is medical tourism, and I've come to the end of the show, and I'd love to talk about it. Call me tomorrow, and call me earlier, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. All right, so, yeah, medical tourism is very interesting. People do go all over the world, and mixed reviews when you get right down to it, but, got to do what you got to do. All right, so apologies to Ruth, if Ruth is still there, but I doubt it. And big thanks, by the way, to Brett. Brett kept us honest and on the air, and we appreciate that. And John, of course, screened your calls, which I appreciate tremendously. But most of all, I'm always delighted that you called. It makes the show a pleasure to do. So 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again, and I hope you'll join me and call. Yeah, indeed. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.